Good morning, New Hope. What a beautiful day, yeah? What a beautiful day. And you know what the amazing thing is? On this beautiful day, we could be anywhere, but you guys choose to be here. So give yourselves a hand, please. Last week, I took the opportunity to stand by this corner right there through the whole message. I usually actually sit right back there, but I took the opportunity to stand at that corner, and there was a reason why I did that. The reason I did that, I said, I was thinking about Veterans Day and what was coming up, and I was thinking, wow, amazing that we get to sit in this open building. No problems, no worries, no fear. But I stood there, and I put a mindset on of, what if we had to worry? What if we had to stand guard? You know, I just wanted to see what it was like, because in this church, I and a few other of the gentlemen here, although not appointed an official position, we are what we are called armor bearers. Armor bearers, what we do is we make sure that as the message is being preached, that nobody comes in and harms the congregation or our pastor. So, you know, we're so free here that we kind of take it lightly because I just sit down in the back, right? But I had sit myself up in the back as if I was on guard. And I'll tell you my experience last week. My experience, for the most part, I had a hard time to pay attention to the message. I was watching every car that came down. I might have freaked some people out who were sitting in the back on that side. But I was just trying to create a mindset for myself. But more so, out of all of that, what it did was it gave me an appreciation for the opportunity to fellowship freely. The reason that we are able to fellowship freely and worship our God is because the men and women of our United States military. So we'd like to honor our veterans and those who served. If you guys could please stand up, all of you who served. And if you guys can remain standing, we get Officer Parks and Officer Talakai going to come around real quick. Those two gentlemen, these three gentlemen that's standing up in the back, served our country. Right there, those three. And Officer Parks, right here. This lady right here, thank you so much. We get two sitting down in the back because they know, like, stand. They like be humble. But those two gentlemen sitting on that table, the one with the blue hat and the guy right next to him, those two gentlemen also serve. Give them a round of applause. I am honored, beyond honored, that I get to fellowship with these gentlemen, okay? Bam. Should I bring me that bulletin, please? I get to fellowship with these guys, and I get to learn from these guys. I get to be up close and personal and listen to their stories. You know, everybody gave a different story. And it's amazing because this is, every time I come up here, and I'll say this every time I come up here, everything can pertain to life and godliness. Everything God can use and show us a way to reveal himself. And as we honor our veterans and we honor the people of our military, the Lord, he shows me his heart and he shows me how we also can honor him. And one of the things and the themes that we are so proud of as Americans is freedom. The title of the thing is Let Freedom Ring. You know, we are proud as Americans of freedom. But, you know, I remember as being a kid, my best friend from 3 years old, his name is Skyle Gomes, we used to get into these arguments, and we had a stone wall in between our house, yeah? And when he'd be really mad at me, he'd be like, you cannot come back over to my house, you gotta stay home. And I would go, like, right past his wall, and I would stay on his side, and I would stand there. And he would be like, you can't be at my house. And I would say, well, it's in free country. It's in free country. And I would say stuff to him, and he's like, my mom said you can't say that. And I said, it's in free country. You know, and as a child, you know, that's what we think freedom is. And even sometimes as adults, we think freedom is the ability to do whatever we like, when we like, how we like, but that's not what it is. And the freedom I'm talking about today, I would like to give you the definition. It's on your bulletin. So if you got your bulletin, I'd like you to look up on the screen if you don't. But this is the definition of freedom. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. Okay? Again, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. A synonym. Oh, that's such a big word. I almost sound like I know what they're talking about. A synonym for freedom is liberty, liberation, release, deliverance, delivery, discharge. This is a type of freedom that I'm talking about. And as we talk about this in this message, I'm going to make reference to three things. One thing is our freedom personally, our freedom as a nation, and also our freedom as believers in Christ. So this brings us to our first point. Number one, if you do not know you're in bondage, you won't need to be free. Amen? Somebody laughing now. That's so simple, yeah? But some people, they don't understand this concept. And I'll tell you personally, and this is not something I'm proud of, but there was a time in my life where I couldn't obey rules and I couldn't obey laws. And because I couldn't obey rules and I couldn't obey laws, what they did was they said, Mr. Gonzalez, you are no longer fit to be in society. And so what they did was they took me and they put me in prison. And after I was in prison, they said, look, you're not even fit to be on this island. So they took me and they put me on Oahu. And after they had me on Oahu, they said, look, Mr. Gonzalez, you're not even fit to be in the States. So what they did was they kicked us out all the way down to Eloy, Arizona, where we were in the middle of the desert, surrounded by multiple prisons. And as we were sitting down in this place, I started to realize that I needed to be free. And it was more than just a spiritual freedom, but I needed to be physically free. I was stuck in prison, and I needed to get out. It was not a good place to be, but till then, I had no clue. And we as Americans, we are so used to being free. We say what we like, we do what we like, we talk when we like, we talk about our leaders, we talk about anything we like, we are free. We have no idea of the concept of being in bondage because we have been free. Somebody paid the price for our freedom. If you guys never been to a third world country, would it tell you how to do, what to do, and when to do it? You have no concept of needing freedom. And in the spiritual, if you look at the scripture that's on your bulletin, I really like this because, you know, Jesus, he was so cool. You know, he could have been like really hardcore like me. If it was me and I was talking, I would be like really sarcastic and arrogant. Yeah, but Jesus, he was pretty cool, yeah? And I'm going to give you one short history of what was happening. Jesus was talking to these Jews, and these Jews, they were Jews that was actually following him. This wasn't the Jews that was like trying to oppose him or oppress him. This was like the Jews that actually believed him, it says. They was actually like kind of trying to be his disciples. So he talks to them and he says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So in this first scripture, he said this. He said, look, you guys, if you guys believe what I'm telling you, then you guys really, truly my followers. And now people take this scripture, okay? People take this scripture and they say, you got to follow the word of God and everything that it says, every rule and this and that, because then you're going to be Jesus' disciples. That's not what he's saying. And then he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What Jesus was telling them was, he was the promised Messiah that was to come to Israel, the Mashiach, the Messiah that was going to set them free. And he says, if you guys believe in me, you guys will be free. You guys will know the truth, and you will be set free. And then they answered this, okay? They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? So this is what they were saying, basically, okay? They're saying, hey, we're the children of Abraham, our forefather Abraham. We like the Hebrew of Hebrews, the Jews, you know, us guys, we Jews. So how are you going to say we're going to be in bondage? And if anybody ever read even a little bit of the Old Testament, if you read about the Jewish people, they were always in bondage. You know, they always was stuck someplace or exiled someplace because they were so knuckleheaded, right? So, and then they say this, they go, but how can you say we have never been in bondage? Not to even think about their present state. They was under Roman rule, being oppressed by the Romans. The Romans had rule over Jerusalem and their whole city. They kind of controlled who was their priest and how they worshiped. And they say they have never been in bondage, okay? I'm like, wow, good one. I mean, I would have brought all of that up plus more if I was Jesus. But Jesus, he came back and he said this. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I'll tell you what he's saying, okay? He says this. He goes, look, I could bring up all this stuff about your physical slavery and all of this stuff, but I'll just bring up one. He says, you are a slave to sin. You who commit sin is a slave to sin. And he goes, and a slave does not abide in the house, but the son abides in the house. And we're not talking about Civil War slaves, okay? We're not talking that kind, because back in the day, their slaves, they purchased them, or they had a debt that they had to work off, okay? So they had a debt that had to be paid, and according to the Jewish law, the master could make the slave free and free them of the debt, or the son could. The son had the authority to. And so he said this, if I make you free, giving them this analogy, he says, if I make you free, then you will be free. So now if you are free from being a slave, you now can be an equal. But prior to that, you would never be equal because you're talking about one son and one slave. So you could never live in the house because they had separate quarters. But now that you are made free, now you can live in the house. So he says, so if you believe in me and you trust in me, I can release you from being a slave and you can abide in the house forever. Amen? But without knowing that they needed freedom, how would they get free? They would have no understanding. Unfortunately, even in this day and age, happens everywhere. It even happens in the church. This happens. They say, in another term, you know how he said, Abraham is our father. Okay, this is what they say. Oh, my father, he was with Pastor Wayne Cordero, you know, back in the day. And I don't need to go to church, and I don't need to know nothing because, you know, I know Wayne Cordero, Alex Pacheco, Aaron Pacheco, you know, Scott Jerome. I know Scott when he first went start, you know. And, you know, we all good, and my mom guys was here, and I did youth ministry. And but I used to serve in all the different ministries, too, before. I don't need the church stuff. I did that. I've been there, and I good already. But you need that, though. You need that because, you know, you went to prison, and you was a super bad guy. You need that. And go tell your little friends, too, because that's not for me. Me, I'm good. My mom guys was in the church for a long time, that's why. So no worry about me. And that's what they was doing. They had no concept of needing freedom. But until you know that you're in bondage, there is no need to be free. Which takes us to our second point. In this second point, freedom is not free. I seen this slogan on a screen that was like 10 times the size of this. Officer Talakai and Officer Parks graduated their basic training over in Fort Leonard Wood. And as they went, I promised that I was going to be there for the graduation. And we went up as a family and we went and watched these guys graduate. And I'm talking like thousands of people, you know, military, all military people. And then you get plenty of military families that, you know, it's just lineage, yeah. These guys all just joined because their parents joined. And I know a majority of those guys were U.S. citizens. And it brought a sense of pride to me. You know, it brought a real sense of pride to see my brothers, you know, just duked up, looking all sharp, following directions. I was impressed, man. I was so impressed. It was following directions, you know. I was so impressed by this. And they brought up this screen, and there was listing off the credentials and the requirements of a U.S. soldier and the things that it took to be a U.S. soldier. And I was like, wow, I don't even qualify, you know. And I was looking, and then when it starts, it says their purpose, and then it says, freedom is not free. And they talk about all the men and women that gave their lives to serve our country and all the things that they did. And sometimes we only think about the soldiers, but, you know, the families of those, like Carlin said, the families who sacrificed their husbands and their wives and gave them up for months or years at a time, and some even lost their lives, and they endure that. And we look and I say, wow, you know, and this is one of the things where I come to this understanding. You guys who served in the military, this is why I always say you guys are my heroes. Because I am able to do what I am able to do because of what you did. I am able to stand up here right now and not be worried and speak the word of God freely because of what you did. You guys paid the price in order that we could do so. And so I understand this concept and I said, wow, Lord. And he says, well, and then that also points to Jesus. We are spiritually free. And the reason we are spiritually free is not because God looked down upon us and he said, oh, you guys are so beautiful and lovely and nice. Oh, he's walking around with his bag of flowers. Oh, you guys are so great. I forgive you guys all. He did not do that. God, being sovereign, righteous, and justice, could not just overlook the sin of the world. So somebody had to pay for it. Because if God did not have somebody pay for the sin that was done, God would be unrighteous and unjust. So he had to have somebody come down, somebody worthy, a worthy sacrifice to pay the price of the sins of the world. If we look at the scripture, it says this. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. For there is one God, and one mediator, also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. The testimony given at the proper time. You guys can underline ransom, please. So he's saying that a man, a mediator, his name was Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice. He came down and he paid the ransom. Amen. On the next scripture, Titus 2:14. It says this, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. You guys can underline redeem. You know these words, the way they're speaking of them. Let me just throw this out there. All of these things are past tense. It has been done already. We're not trying to work for them or look forward to them. They have been done. It's past tense. And the next scripture is it's 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. This is my favorite one out of all of this that reminds us that we have been purchased. Okay, it says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So he makes this comparison, okay? He says, look, in pigeon terms, he goes like this. He says, look, you guys were bought back, and the price you guys was paid wasn't with rubbish kind stuff. I never come and buy you guys back with opala. I never buy you guys back with something that can perish or was rubbish. He said, I bought you back with the blood of Jesus Christ. God himself came down and paid the price for our sin. In another scripture, it says this, a man who knew no sin became sin that we could be the righteousness of Christ. In other words, this person who did not even deserve to die, but was the only one worthy to pay the price, came and paid the price. Silver, gold, cars, money, all of these things, they perish and they fade away. But the blood of Christ is eternal, and what we have received is eternal. And so when you see the two in comparison, it really makes us appreciate our God. It really makes us appreciate what Christ did. In the same sense, when it comes to our military, it's not like we just went all pay one tax and every time they come and they try to bother us, we just pay one tax and we pay out of our pocket of our abundance and say, okay, leave us alone. And we pay the tax. It doesn't work like that. And this is why we appreciate our military, because they go on and they give their lives. They go on and they risk their lives. Some make it back alive, some don't. And the ones that come back, sometimes they're stuck with all kind of things. Personal problems, mental health issues, physical problems. How many of you watch MMA? Okay, last night was like a huge fight. Okay, it was Conor McGregor. This guy is like a big deal. Okay, he's like the highest paid guy in martial arts right now. This guy is making big bucks. He's like 145 pounds. He walks out like he's 300 pounds. He get one mouth that is so radical, but he always back him up. I mean, this guy is just out of control, but he's a very smart businessman. And this guy, he said that he loves New York, because as he goes out to New York on the street, people come. And people, they come, they take pictures, they ask for his autograph. I mean, if you follow this guy on social media, he's driving Bentleys, Mercedes, he's got the big house, he dresses like a king. To some, he is a hero. To Ireland, he is a big deal hero. To Americans, these guys worship him like he's a god. And then I stop and I think about our military and our soldiers, our real heroes that bring real value. And they go out, they go to war, they fight for our freedom, they get no recognition. Nobody throngs them to get autographs or pictures. You know, after they're done served, they go back to their regular life. They get no Bentley or Mercedes at the end. And then I think, and I say, God, why is that? And he says, you know, I have an even bigger reward for them. And theirs will not perish like the Bentley or the money. I said, okay, thank you, Lord. Please let them know that, please. On our final point. In this final point, I would like you guys to really grasp this. If you don't grasp anything else throughout this whole thing, I would like you to grasp this. You were not made free for no reason. You were not made free for no reason. When I was in prison, the Lord told me this. He says, look, I had a 10-year prison sentence. I got out in a little bit over 4. Only by the grace of God. And God, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to serve me. I want you to serve me in every way you can. I want to serve me in your home. I want you to serve me in your church. I want you to serve me in the community. I want you to go in and throughout the world, and I want you to serve me. And the reason and the purpose that he set me free early is because he said he wants me to serve him. And I said, okay, Lord, let's do that. Not that I do that very well all the time, but I said, Lord, let's do that, right? And as a nation, a lot of people have this misunderstanding of why we have this free country. People think that we are free so we can make all the money and do all the things we like do and do whatever we wanted to do and say what we like say. But the reason we had freedom, the freedom that we had, was that we could serve our God. Not a God, not any God that we choose. The purpose of freedom of our country was that we were supposed to worship our God. Yahweh. And then Paul, he talks in Galatians 5:1, he talks about, and this is to Gentile people, yeah? And they were like pagans, and they would worship meat and do all these different things, and they never really have a good concept of the law, but other people came in and told them things that they should and shouldn't do. So they were all like really confused. So Paul came and he says, look, I'm going to tell you guys about your freedom. And in Galatians 5:1, he says this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So he's saying this. I have made you free, so don't go back to a way that would entangle you in a way that you would not be free. Like, people was trying to make them go back and do laws and get them to do certain rituals and sacrifice. And he says, I don't like you do that. I just like you be free. So people, what they start thinking is, well, if I'm free, then I can do whatever I like. So even Christians in this mentality, they say, I get freedom. I can do anything I like because I believe in Jesus, so I am saved. Praise God. Okay, so I believe you, Jesus. And then they go out and they go do anything that they like. They say, we have freedom in Christ. But later on in that passage, in Galatians 5:13, he goes on to say this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Remember that synonym. The synonym for freedom. It says, you have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So this is what he's saying. You have been called to freedom. Freedom from this law. Because this law, what it did was, it had people saying, do and do not. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And instead of being able to serve him and love people, they were so busy tripping and stumbling over all the things that they should and shouldn't do. How many of you know how that feels like? You're so busy worrying about, I should do this, I shouldn't do this, I should this, I shouldn't do this. It's hard to serve God. It's hard to love God. It's hard to serve people. So he freed us from this law, and he said this. But don't, because you're free, don't use it as an opportunity to serve yourself. Don't use it as an opportunity to do what you like do. Don't use the freedom that I gave you to just run amok. He says, but through love, serve one another. He said this, you guys have been made free so that you would be able to love other people without your conscience and your mind tripping you up all the time. That is the purpose that we have been made free for.